Welcome to the Voice of America in Mandarin.
这里是美国之音的中文广播。现在就开始今天下午六个小时的中文节目。
各位听众好，现在是2017年1月26日星期四，美国东部时间早上4点，北京时间傍晚5点，请听这个时段的美国之音新闻。美国总统川普下达了在美墨边界建立隔离墙以加强非法移民执法的命令后，还计划禁止一些穆斯林国家的人进入美国。他还同时表示支持在叙利亚建立安全区安置难民。川普总统在竞选期间曾经提出禁止所有的穆斯林进入美国，后来改为禁令将针对那些与恐怖主义有关联的国家。川普还批评欧洲国家决定接纳大批难民的政策，他说有时候这些人带着邪恶的意图，包括伊斯兰国极端组织的成员。他说我要做一个安全国家的总统。川普总统还重申了在叙利亚建立安全区的主张，也就是把逃离叙利亚一些地区的难民安置在这些安全区，而不是让他们到国外避难。墨西哥总统涅托星期三对美国川普决定在两国边界修建隔离墙的计划表示遗憾和不赞同。他说墨西哥不会支付建造边界隔离墙的费用，不过涅托没有取消下星期访美的计划。涅托总统还说他已经要求墨西哥在美国的50个领馆加强保护移民的工作。川普总统星期三签署了两项行政命令，在美墨边界修墙，加强边界巡逻，增加负责遣返任务的移民执法人员。在另外一方面，在英国即将脱离欧洲，川普总统刚刚上任之际，即将访问美国的英国首相特蕾莎梅将呼吁重振美英两国的特殊关系。特蕾莎梅星期四先到费城，星期五访问白宫，他将是川普上任后第一位与他会晤的外国领导人。特蕾莎梅首相星期四在费城对正在那里召开的会议的国会共和党人发表讲话。根据他的发言稿，他将回顾两国关系所缔造的现代世界。川普总统和副总统也将参加这次共和党的会议。美国国务院星期三说，美国资金向朝鲜提供了$100万的人道援助，这是美国自2001年后首次向朝鲜提供援助。2011年，美国向朝鲜水灾灾民提供了价值$900万的医药设备等救援物资，这次的人道救援是为了帮助去年8月台风狮子山袭击对朝鲜造成的损害。已经卸任的国务卿克里在川普就职前批准把这笔朝鲜的人道救援资金拨给联合国儿童基金会。国务院通过电邮向美国之音证实了这个消息，并且说这笔钱只能用于人道救援方面的工作。不过国务院的一位发言人说，政府目前正在审核前任政府在卸任前的最后一些花费的情况。美国国防部的官员告诉美国之音，两架俄罗斯轰炸机星期二环绕日本飞行。美国太平洋司令部的官员说，美军没有采取行动，因为俄罗斯轰炸机飞行的航线没有引发担忧。另外一位美国官员告诉美国之音，俄罗斯轰炸机围绕日本飞行的时候一直保持在国际领域飞行。星期三1月25号美国驻中国大使洪博培、美国贸易代表白倩夫和秋博保险集团首席执行官伊万·格林伯格为美国有线电视新闻网撰写了评论文章，强调亚太地区对美国利益至关重要。文章说，全世界数百亿美元的经济的一半都在亚太地区，随着数十亿亚洲人加入了中产阶级的大军，世界经济的重心将进一步向那里转移。同亚洲的直接贸易已经在支撑着美国300多万的就业机会，未来还会有更大的潜力。三位作者同时指出，亚洲的增长面临越来越大的阻力，整个地区的民族主义和保护主义正在上升，中国对美国尤其构成挑战。以上就是这个时段的美国之音新闻，感谢您的收听，是由申华向各位播报的。
Hello, I'm Elizabeth Moore. Welcome to Functioning in Business.
听众朋友们好，我是杨晨。欢迎收听商务通英语。
Functioning in Business is an intermediate level business English course with a focus on American business practices and culture.
商务通英语是中等程度的商务英语课程。课程题材以美国的商务实践和文化为主。通过电台播音室里的采访和绘画讲授美国英语。今天我们复习本星期的课程。第一课重点学习怎样表示确认。首先是电话访谈。我们再一次通过电话采访 Blake 先生。
Today we are talking again to Charles Blake. Hello, Mr. Blake.
Hello. It's good to be on the show again.
We are listening again to your conversation with Mr. Gomez. Mr. Gomez asked you a number of questions about training and manuals.
Uh-huh. Yes. He also wanted some information from other companies, from companies that had used our robots.
Let's listen to that conversation.
Another concern is your performance record in Asia with these machines.
Why don't I send you some reports on our performance? On the performance of the robots in some Korean companies who are also our clients. And I'm sure you'll be quite pleased with what you see.
Okay, great. Could you get those off to me within a few weeks?
Sure, that shouldn't be a problem. In fact, as soon as I get back to Beijing, I'll see to it.
Mr. Blake, what did you plan to do next?
Well, I needed to contact my head office in Beijing. I had to make sure that the training manuals would be ready in time, and I wanted to check on our English language training program. Our technicians would need to be able to explain technical processes in clear English. I wanted to be sure that I could keep all of my promises to Mr. Gomez.
I see. Mr. Blake, thank you for talking to us today. Let's take a short break. Welcome once again to Culture Tips with Gary Angleton. Today, Gary will talk about another aspect of negotiating.
Yes, today I'm going to talk about confirming understanding of a proposal. For example, if someone wants to sell a book for $13, you want to make sure that they aren't saying $30. But that's a very simple example. In negotiations between corporations, there may be many pages of details. When you negotiate, you have to read very carefully and listen carefully to what people have to say.
What could go wrong if you don't?
Well, you might reject a proposal because you misunderstand it. Or even worse, you might accept it by mistake. One good way to confirm understanding is to paraphrase or restate what you read or hear.
Say it again in your own words.
Right. You shouldn't respond to a proposal unless you are sure that you have understood it.
Thanks, Gary. Let's listen to today's business dialogue.
We just received the latest test results from an independent laboratory. With our newest software, your computers will run 30% faster.
Excuse me, but was that 30 or 13?
30. And we have versions for all major operating systems.
So you're saying that anyone can use this?
Yes, that's right.
Well, that's certainly impressive, but we'll have to see the complete lab report.
I understand, but I'll have to get back to you on that request. My partners will have to agree to release the technical information.
Okay.
We'd like to do our own independent testing.
That's no problem. We can help you set it up. If the test results are good, are you interested in becoming partners?
Let's talk it over after we see the test results.
Well, I hope that you'll agree to join us. It's a good opportunity.
Was that 30 or 13?
Did you say 30 or 13?
So you're saying that anyone can use this?
Are you saying that anyone can use this?
I'll have to get back to you.
I can't give you an answer at this time.
Let's talk it over after we see the results.
Let's discuss it when we have the results.
Gary 提示。
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Angleton.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today I'll be talking about confirming information during a negotiation. In any business discussion, it is very important to confirm numbers. This is especially true of numbers like 30 and 13, which are easily confused, as we hear in today's business dialogue.
We just received the latest test results from an independent laboratory. With our newest software, your computers will run 30% faster.
Excuse me, but was that 30 or 13?
30, 30.
In today's business dialogue, we can also hear several examples of confirmation and paraphrase using the word so.
And we have versions for all major operating systems.
So you're saying that anyone can use this?
Yes, that's right.
This dialogue also contains some examples of the language function stalling. These are expressions you can use if you want to delay a decision or an answer. When Mark asks to see the lab report, Alan stalls, using the expression, "I'll have to get back to you."
Well, that's certainly impressive, but we'll have to see the complete lab report.
I understand, but I'll have to get back to you on that request. My partners will have to agree to release the technical information.
This is the same expression Mr. Blake used in his conversation with Mr. Gomez.
Yes, again, as I told you, we are preparing a translation of the Chinese manual we have now, and we expect that to be ready in a short time.
By a short time, could you give me an estimate?
I'd like to say 2 weeks, but I'd have to get back to you.
Confirming information and stalling, delaying answers and decisions, are both useful skills in business discussions. Thanks for joining us today for Gary's Tips.
Thanks, Gary.
本星期第二课重点学习怎样提供反馈，也就是怎样对别人说的话做出反应。首先是电话访谈，采访对象是 Gomez 先生。
Today we're talking again to Mr. David Gomez. Hello, Mr. Gomez.
Hello, it's nice to talk to you again.
Your discussions with Mr. Blake were successful, weren't they?
Yes, we met for about an hour and a half, and I felt that we discussed all the main issues.
Let's listen to how you ended those discussions.
Why don't I send you some reports on our performance?On the performance of the robots in some Korean companies who are also our clients. And I'm sure you'll be quite pleased with what you see.
Okay, great. Could you get those off to me within a few weeks?
Sure, that shouldn't be a problem. In fact, as soon as I get back to Beijing, I'll see to it.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Is there anything else?
Well, no. That covers all the major points.
Okay, fine.
Sounds good.
下面我们继续采访 Gomez 先生。
Mr. Gomez, how did you think that meeting went?
Well, Elizabeth, I felt confident about the quality of the robots, and I was pleased that Mr. Blake was willing to send us technical advisors and to provide English service manuals. And I told Mr. Chapman all this.
You called him after the meeting?
No, I sent him an email. I kept Mr. Chapman up to date about my meetings with Mr. Blake. After all, it was Mr. Chapman who had to make the final decision about the purchase.
Mr. Gomez, thank you for talking to me today. Let's take a short break. Welcome once again to Culture Tips with Gary Engleton. Today, Gary will talk about another aspect of negotiating.
Yes, today I'm going to talk about being careful with numbers.
What does that mean?
Well, in negotiations, people use a lot of numbers, especially for prices.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes it's important to ask them where the numbers come from.
Can you give us an example?
Sure. Let's say that you are buying a used car. The seller may tell you that he wants $5,000. You should ask where the number 5,000 came from.
To see if it's a fair price.
Yes, whenever it's possible, ask the seller to use a standard measure or reference.
For example?
Well, with cars, there are standard lists of prices that tell you how much used cars are worth. If you check the price lists, you may find that the car you want to buy is not worth $5,000. It may only be worth $4,000.
So in negotiations, don't just accept numbers. Examine them closely.
Exactly.
Let's listen to today's business dialogue.
As I mentioned before, it's a well-built house with a spectacular view.
Excellent.
However, I'm afraid that the owners can't move out until October. Their new house won't be ready until then.
Well, we could wait until October. That isn't a problem. So, what's the asking price?
They're asking $250,000.
$250,000? That sounds like a lot.
Well, it does have 4 bedrooms, 3 baths, and the view is spectacular.
But according to my real estate agent, most houses near here are much less expensive. In fact, I just saw a house for sale near here. It also has 4 bedrooms and a nice view. And they're only asking $200,000.
Well, the owners are willing to negotiate.
Good. I'll think about it and give you a call. Maybe we'll make an offer.
Sounds good.
It's a well-built house with a spectacular view.
Excellent.
The owners can't move out until October.
That isn't a problem.
The owners are willing to negotiate.
Good.
Gary 提示。
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Engleton.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today I'll be talking about giving feedback. In today's business dialogue, Lucy is looking for a new house. When she likes what she hears, she gives positive feedback using expressions such as excellent and that isn't a problem. Let's listen.
As I mentioned before, it's a well-built house with a spectacular view.
Excellent.
However, I'm afraid that the owners can't move out until October. Their new house won't be ready until then.
Well, we could wait until October. That isn't a problem.
One good way to give feedback, either positive or negative, is to use the expression, that sounds. For example, that sounds good, or that sounds like a problem. Notice how Lucy uses the expression, that sounds like a lot, when the real estate agent says the price of the house.
So, what's the asking price?
They're asking $250,000.
$250,000? That sounds like a lot.
Later on, Lucy and the agent come to a solution that sounds good to both of them.
Well, the owners are willing to negotiate.
Good. I'll think about it and give you a call. Maybe we'll make an offer.
Sounds good.
In business discussions, it's a good idea to give feedback so that the other person understands your position. Thanks for joining us today for Gary's Tips.
Thanks, Gary.
第三课我们重点学习了许诺和让别人放心的语言。首先是分析讨论。我们要把 Blake 先生和 Gomez 先生所进行的会谈完整的听一遍，然后进行分析。
I'm here with Gary Angleton. Today, we will listen to the entire conversation between Mr. Blake and Mr. Gomez,
where they go over some final details.
Yes, they discuss, let's see, training, the service manual,
And Mr. Gomez asks for some information about the performance record of the robots in Asia.
Yes, he wants reports from Korean companies that have used Mr. Blake's robots.
All in all, Mr. Gomez seemed satisfied.
Yes, he did. Let's listen again to the conversation and we'll talk about it afterwards.
Okay.
So, Mr. Blake...When we first put these machines in operation, can you send over a group of advisors, technical advisors who speak English and can train our engineers and workmen?
Certainly, Mr. Gomez. In fact, we have some engineers in a language training program now. They could come over within a few months and be available any time you need them.
Great, great. That sounds good. Another one of our major concerns is the service manual. We're quite concerned about getting a service manual in English.It has to be easy to read and very clear and useful for our engineers.
Yes, again, as I told you, we are preparing a translation of the Chinese manual we have now, and we expect that to be ready in a short time.
By a short time, could you give me an estimate?
I'd like to say 2 weeks, but I'd have to get back to you, but probably about 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh, that sounds quite reasonable.As you know, we have until January 1st to actually install these machines and get them operating. So we're under no deadline pressure here.
Okay, well, that gives us a fair amount of time to work with.
Plenty of time. That sounds good, Mr. Blake. Another concern is your performance record in Asia with these machines.
Why don't I send you some reports on our performance? On the performance of the robots in some Korean companies who are also our clients.And I'm sure you'll be quite pleased with what you see.
Okay, great. Could you get those off to me within a few weeks?
Sure. That shouldn't be a problem. In fact, as soon as I get back to Beijing, I'll see to it.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Is there anything else?
Well, no. That covers all the major points.
Okay, fine.
Sounds good.
下面我们来分析 Blake 先生和 Gomez 先生的会谈。
By the end of the conversation, Mr. Gomez seems very happy.
Yes, Mr. Blake also seems very pleased with the way things have gone. They appear to have established a basis for a good working relationship. So, this is an example of a successful negotiation.
It looks like that to me.
文化点滴。
Welcome once again to Culture Tips with Gary Angleton. Today, Gary will summarize some important tips about negotiations. Gary?
Yes, First of all, you have to remember that you are building a long-term relationship. You should make sure that your agreement is fair to both sides. To do this, you really need to know what the other side wants and needs. You need to understand what they are asking for and why. And it's very important to understand a proposal before reacting to it. You should always paraphrase ideas to check your understanding. Finally, always ask where the numbers come from and check them.
Gary, thanks for all of the great suggestions. They will certainly be helpful to our listeners when they use English in a negotiation. Let's listen to today's business dialogue.
So, you need 5 experienced programmers by the 10th of next month?
Yes. As I said, we are going to use a new computer system in our warehouse.
Well, that won't be a problem. I can promise 3 programmers by the 1st of the month. And I can guarantee the other 2 by your deadline.
But will they be experienced? We need experienced programmers.
They will have at least 1 year's experience with the computer software.
You're sure of that?
I'll see to it personally.
And how much will this cost us?
It'll be $2,000 per week for each programmer.
That's pretty expensive. Why so much?
Well, experienced computer programmers are expensive. They can easily get very high salaries anywhere they work. If we want them to stay with us, we have to pay them well. In addition, our company has to make some money. We're providing a service.
Okay, that sounds reasonable.
Gary 提示。
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Angleton.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today's business dialogue contains examples of some language functions that are used in negotiations. The dialogue begins with John confirming what Jane needs, using the expression, so. Jane also confirms her needs, using the useful expression, as I said.
So, you need 5 experienced programmers by the 10th of next month?
Yes. As I said, we are going to use a new computer system in our warehouse.
John then reassures her that he can meet her needs. Notice his use of the key words promise and guarantee.
Well, that won't be a problem. I can promise 3 programmers by the 1st of the month. And I can guarantee the other 2 by your deadline.
Jane also asks information questions, how much, and why, to come to a better understanding of John's position.
And how much will this cost us?
It'll be $2,000 per week for each programmer.
That's pretty expensive. Why so much?
Well, experienced computer programmers are expensive. In addition, our company has to make some money. We're providing a service.
Business discussions and negotiations will always require a variety of language functions. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Gary. Well, our time is up. Tune in again next time for Functioning in Business. See you then.
今天的商务通英语就复习到这里。谢谢各位收听。我们下次再见。
For further study, a Functioning in Business study kit is available from your local bookstore.
为了帮助学习，商务通英语备有课本和录音带，整套辅导学习材料，听众可以去本地的书店购买。
请听这个时段的美国之音新闻。美国总统川普下达了在美墨边界修建隔离墙以及加强非法移民执法的命令之后，还计划禁止一些穆斯林国家的人进入美国。川普还表示支持在叙利亚建立安全区安置难民。川普总统在竞选期间曾经提出禁止所有的穆斯林人进入美国，后来改为禁令将针对那些与恐怖主义有关联的国家。川普还批评欧洲国家决定接纳大批难民的政策，他说有时候这些人带着邪恶的意图来到美国，其中包括伊斯兰国极端组织的成员。他说我要作为一个安全国家的总统。川普总统还重申了在叙利亚建立安全区的主张，也就是把逃离叙利亚一些地区的难民安置在这些安全区内，而不是让他们到国外避难。墨西哥总统涅托星期三对美国总统川普决定在两国边界修建隔离墙的计划表示遗憾和不赞同。他说墨西哥不会支付建造边界墙的费用，不过涅托没有取消下星期访问美国的计划。涅托总统还说他已经要求墨西哥在美国的50个领馆加强保护移民的工作。川普总统星期三签署了两项行政命令，在美墨边界修建隔离墙，加强边界的巡逻，增加负责遣返任务的移民执法人员。在英国即将脱欧，川普总统刚刚上台之际，即将访问美国的英国首相特蕾莎梅将呼吁重振美英两国的特殊关系。特蕾莎梅星期四先前往费城，星期五访问白宫，他将是川普上任后第一位与他会晤的外国领导人。特蕾莎梅首相星期四在费城对正在那里召开的国会共和党人发表讲话，根据他的发言稿，他将回顾两国关系所缔造的现代世界。川普总统和副总统预计也将参加这次共和党的会议。特蕾莎梅首相将呼吁在新的时代重振两国的特殊关系，他说两国有机会再次共同发挥领导作用。美国国务院星期三说，美国将向朝鲜提供100万美元的人道援助，这是美国自2011年后第一次向朝鲜提供援助。2011年，美国向朝鲜水灾的灾民提供了价值90万美元的医药设备等救援物资。这次的人道救援是为了帮助去年8月台风狮子山袭击对朝鲜造成的损害。已经卸任的美国国务卿克里在川普就任前批准把这笔钱给朝鲜的人道救援资金拨给联合国儿童基金会。美国国务院通过电邮向美国之音证实了这个消息，并且说这笔资金只能用于人道救援。不过国务院的一位发言人对政府说，政府目前正在审核前任政府在卸任前的最后一些花费。美国向朝鲜提供援助的消息令华盛顿和首尔的一些政府官员感到意外，因为自朝鲜去年多次进行核试验以来，两国最近一直在向朝鲜施加压力。美国国防部的官员告诉美国之音，两架俄罗斯轰炸机星期二环绕日本进行了飞行。美国太平洋司令部的官员说，美军没有能够采取行动，因为俄罗斯轰炸机的飞行航线没有引发担忧。另外一位美国官员对美国之音说，俄罗斯轰炸机围绕日本飞行的时候一直在国际领域飞行。星期三1月25日，美国前驻华大使洪博培、前贸易代表白倩夫等官员为美国的有线电视新闻网撰写了评论文章，强调亚太地区对美国利益至关重要。这篇文章说，全世界数百亿美元的经济的一半都在亚太地区，随着数十亿亚洲人加入中产阶级的队伍，世界经济的重心将进一步向那里转移。同亚洲的直接贸易已经在支撑着美国300多万个就业机会，未来还会有更大的潜力。三位作者同时指出，但是亚洲的增长面临越来越大的阻力，整个地区的民族主义和保护主义正在上升，中国对美国尤其构成挑战。美中关系会让美国获益，但是如果不推进两国的利益，这种关系就无法维系。各位听众，以上就是这个时段的美国之音新闻，是由申华从美国首都华盛顿向各位播报的。
以下为您重播美国之音 VOA 卫视时事大家谈节目。因为是节目录音，请您不要拨打电话。
听众观众朋友们好，欢迎收听收看 VOA 卫视1月25号星期三的时事大家谈节目，我是许波，我们在美国之音华盛顿演播室为您现场报道。近来中国自由派被封杀禁言频频登上新闻头条，山东建筑大学教授邓向超因转发披毛言论而被免去公职，石家庄市文化广电新闻出版局副局长左春和由于发表政治敏感言论遭到官方打压，著名自由派经济学家毛于轼的相关网站和微博被查封，自由派法律学者贺卫方也遭到毛左的围攻。有分析称左风大作并非中南海的意图，另有评论指出毛左势力致力于复辟文革并用文革手段打击政治异己，而习核心则乐观其成，并且借这个力量来阻击政治意见和普世价值。那么当政者坐看当前的左风满楼，究竟是执左不悟，还是对毛左派欲擒故纵？意识形态的绞肉机是不是会在中国卷土重来呢？好，我们今天就邀请两位嘉宾来探讨这些问题。北京之春的荣誉主编胡平先生通过 Skype 连线从美国纽约参加我们的节目。胡先生您好。
你好，大家好。
独立作家评论人士田其庄先生通过电话连线在中国河北参加节目。我们欢迎两位嘉宾，同时呢我们也欢迎各位观众听众朋友们拨打电话提出问题，免费热线是400-120-0551 400-120-0551。另外呢您还可以通过 VOA 卫视在 YouTube 上的网上直播来收看并加入我们的现场讨论。我们的网址是 youtube.com/VOAChina。左风林立呢可以说是中国当前意识形态领域的一个严重态势。那么这股左风因何而起，为什么会出现呢？我们请纽约的胡平先生您来先谈谈这个问题。
这股左风毫无疑问是来自中南海，来自习近平本人。事实上我们看到从习近平上台以来一直就在不断的这个收紧对意识形态的这个控制，最近我们看到的事情呢，无非是这么3-4年以来这种趋势的一个最新发展而已。所以我觉得这一点，首先我们应该看得非常清楚。
好的，那么河北的田先生，您有什么看法？
我认为嘛，在中国大陆，集权是左的标签，分权是右的特征。一党专制下的集权属于常态，分权是特殊。执政者为了维护自己的权威，恨不得把所有的权力集中在自己手里。在毛泽东时代，这个集权啊达到了顶峰，谁左谁沾光，谁右谁遭殃，整个官场宁左勿右，泛滥成灾，给中华民族造成了空前的灾难。邓小平执政后旗帜鲜明地提出要警惕右，但主要是防止左，这才有了改革开放的大好局面。但权力的天性是为所欲为，不愿接受监督制约，所以在中共执政史上呢，加强党的领导一直是主旋律，主张分权者总是被当成异己排斥。正因为如此，毛泽东发动的文革虽然被彻底否定，但他所确立的集权体制却被原汁原味地保留下来。毛的是非公罪一直没有剖析论证，一直没有真正走下神坛，就是因为在这个重大原则问题上态度暧昧，导致中共始终不敢正视自己的党史，不去纠正过去的错误，不能放下包袱轻装前进。更重要的是，由于中共不敢大胆进行分权体制改革，造成权力过分集中，贪官们无所顾忌，疯狂敛财到了令人发指的地步。令人遗憾的是，十八大以来虽然惩治了无数贪官，但是我们却没有看到任何让人眼前一亮的分权改革。这样的政治氛围必然会给左风左派留下施展的空间。
好的，那么
这是我的看法。
好的，那么我们从呢最近中共高层的这个一系列做法呢可以看出这种迹象。 啊，中共的这个啊最高领导人习近平近日呢，他警告政权安全和制度安全的问题。啊，中国最高法院院长周强呢也号召要敢于向西方的错误思潮亮剑。那么种种迹象都表明呢，是不是要表明啊，中共要对自由派，也就是啊我们通常所说的这个右派下手了？啊，如果下手会走多远？达到反右的程度呢，还是达到文化大革命的这样一个程度呢？啊，胡先生，纽约胡先生，
我想他当然要对这个自由派下手，不过从形式上，他很难做到像这个57年反右那种情况，或者是文化革命那种情况。那这次这个邓小超事件呢，倒是他试图确立一种新的模式，那就这一点呢，就和当年毛时代搞政治运动有很大的类似之处。我们注意到毛时代是政治运动不断，所谓政治运动很重要的一条呢，它就和法治的精神是完全背道而驰，它的最大的特点就是追溯既往。所谓搞个运动，就是把你过去做的事情拿出来，这个重新审视，来那个重新处理。照说，有些话是原来早就讲过的，有些事情原来早就做的，有些文章是原来在官方媒体上发表的，那么他当时都没有处理，都没有整肃。可是后来呢，到了一定阶段之下呢，他回过头去再去治理。那么这次你看他对这个自由派的清算也有类似的情况，因为他自己政府自像这些自由派的一些体制内的自由派的一些人士，他们长期以来就在表达他们的这些观点，所以你当局要以法律的名义根本没法整治他们，因为要说违法那早就违法了，那你早前在干什么呢？那么他就通过所谓群众出来就是抗议检举，这样子呢政府方面这个回应群众的这种呼声做出一种处理，就以这种方式就对过去的事情就加以整肃。那么当然他这里可以看得出来的，像这次这些毛左的群众，显然我们可以认为他是背后本身并不是他纯自发的行动，而他们背后本身就是由政府在支持，否则在今天中国这种高度维稳、这个草木皆兵的形势之下，这种机会根本不可能出现，而且一旦出现了，也会马上就去加以制止。而这种像这种毛左的集会、这种抗议之所以能够一再发生，本身就表明了这是当局自己在采取的一种新的手段，这一点我觉得是值得我们非常关注的。
好的，那么河北的田先生，您在中国大陆可能对这个问题观察的更细致一些啊，您认为目前啊中国这个啊毛左势力猖獗，然后左风大作的这种局面，会不会导致中共当局对自由派下手？如果整肃，那么整肃到什么程度？
我在这个问题上有点不同的看法。
好的，
我认为历史不会重演，也不可能达到反右文革那样的残酷凶险程度，这是因为社会基础发生了根本的变化。当年毛泽东控制的每个人都有户口本和购粮证，谁不听话就会饿肚子，就会大祸临头，所以他指到哪儿，全体国民只能打到哪儿。今天国人已经自力更生，不但能得温饱，还可以生活得很好，衣食足之荣辱，他们必然要追求人生自由、人格独立，不可能甘当革命一块砖，东西南北任党搬，听任他人运动自己。中共体制内的集权者呢，对要求分权的自由派的打压是本能，我认为这是一种本能，但我认为他们主要是精准打压，可控整肃，不会无限扩大广泛诛孤连，更不可能发起政治运动。毛左们只不过是官方打压自由派的暂时利用对象。中共今年的头等大事啊，还是召开19大，保证习近平的人事安排顺利到位，不可能放任毛左们兴风作浪，也不会，我想也不会过度打压自由派，引起国际社会的强烈反弹。估计以后大体还是保持这么一个态势。
好的，
这是我的看法。
好，谢谢您。看到改革开放以来呢，中国一直就存在毛左和自由派或者右派之争，那么中共高层的态度呢，刚才田先生讲到这个问题，一直是走平衡的路线，两派都压，但是现在是什么原因啊，促使这个中国呢突然向左的方向这个倾斜了呢？啊，胡平先生。
我想你从这个邓小平九二南巡以来这个形势可以看出这种变化。在九二南巡这个之初，那就像邓小平讲的，既要反左也要反右，但他主要是反左，因为他当时担心这些左的这种思潮呢会这个阻碍，因为他强调姓社姓资会阻碍这个他想采取的资本主义取向的经济改革。那么这件事情呢，多少在过去都已经过去了。
嗯，
所以对这个今天的中共当局来说呢，所谓这个左的方面对他的这种威胁已经是大大的减小。另一方面呢，那我们看到这个，特别是在习近平上台以来，他是讲的几个不讲啊，几个不准呐、啊，不要把这个前三十年和后三十年互相否定啊。既然今天中国的现实，中国共产党他所作所为。和毛时代有着那么明显的区别，那么当他强调这个两个不能互相否定的时候，那本身就意味着他要至少在形式上啊，那更多的回到这个借用一些毛时代的东西，就加强毛时代的一些色彩，而降低用到邓的这么一些色彩。当然，这里主要指的还是在这个意识形态方面，因为在经济方面，在其他方面，我想他也既不愿意改，而且实际上改动起来也非常困难。
嗯，
这是他，所以这个他正是考虑到随着这个经济改革啊，这个对外开放这种发展，使得他这个共产党原来那套东西，那套意识形态说辞越来越站不住脚，因此呢，他统治的合法性越来越受到威胁，所以他在这种情况之下呢，他会更多的就诉诸于就是在这方面就是强化过去的那个毛泽时代的那种意识形态的那种话语，这就是他现在要比过去这个更倾向于这个所谓毛左派的一个原因。
嗯，好的。那么河北的田先生，刚才您提到呢，就是说您预计中共当局还是会采取一个大体平衡的这样一个手段，但是我们的确看到呢，现在啊中国出现了这个左风大作的这样一种情况啊，也的确看到了这个中共呢好像是在向左的方面倾斜，那这是为什么呢？
我认为这与十九大今年召开有关。在中国大陆，自由派大都在体制外，对舆论的影响呢与日俱增。官方到目前为止没有任何让人信服能够自圆其说的思想理论，一些官员的奇葩话语每每被驳斥的千疮百孔，体无完肤，无法接到对话，于是就图穷匕现，管控言论，查封网站，是吧？另一方面呢，就是自由派对毛泽东时代的极左灾难不断揭露，令那些红二代们如坐针毡，他们无法正面接招，便会借助权力更迭之际向执政者施压，加上天下掌权者大都不愿听到逆耳之言，所以这样的倾斜也就在所难免了。
好的，我们现在呢，我们来听听听众、观众和网友们的看法。首先我们来接电话，河北的张先生，张先生你好。
哎，你好。
嗯，
我认为习近平是个改革者，啊，为什么呢？改革中国，改革分激进式改革和保守性改革，习近平实行的是保守性改革，就是经济体制大部改革，社会体制也进行改革，但政治体制改革就是比较慢，也渐进式的。这种改革呢，就是顶层设计，顶层设计就是政治精英而不是群众参与的改革。所以这里就出现有它有优点，优点就是社会可能稳定，是吧？再加上一种民主主义啊等等，是社会稳定，经济发展呢可能极少受到影响。但是它的缺陷呢，就是改革是人民的改革，没有人民的参与，改革可能很难取得成功。
嗯，
而且这种不进行彻底的政治体制改革，没有推动民主，就是台湾统一可能有受到一定影响。所以说呢，这个改革是渐进式改革，是吧？必须要进行到，不是说渐进，不是不进，说习近平十九大要进行什么大的动作我不知道，但是像现在具备进行政治体制改革的机会了，谢谢他能够进行政治体制改革，因为他也感觉到了反腐败靠中纪委，就是中纪委也出现问题了，到底靠什么？就是要实行民主，推动中国的政治体制改革。谢谢你们。
好的，谢谢张先生。下一位是湖北的，也是张先生。湖北张先生你好。
你好，主持人好，嘉宾好，
请讲。
这个呢，我认为他这个中共现在，我觉得他已经到了一个末期了。到了末期时候，那个习近平他也意识到那个事情的比较严重性，就是说光靠自己那种啊去监督啊腐败啊那个，这个他也觉得是好像那个力度阻力是很大的。然后我觉得如果说再下去的话，台湾问题他要解决，在习近平在上任期间，他肯定积极想把台湾问题解决。我觉得可能要给我一种感觉，就是说要有一种奇怪的事情发生吧。
好的，我们谢谢刚才的两位张先生。那么我们请我们嘉宾呢对刚才两位听众观众的看法来做个回应。首先是胡平先生，胡平先生。
当然我觉得给张先生谈到这个习近平进行所谓这个比较渐进的顶层设计的政治改革这种说法，应该说比较缺少根据。因为它和现在我们所看到的事实完全是背道而驰。在政治方面，我们看到习近平的做法不但没有任何的进展，甚至比起这个江泽民时代，比起胡锦涛时代，都有这个大踏步的这个大幅度的后退。当然这也是这个中共它这种政权本身的一个固有的一个内在的矛盾。就一方面他清楚的知道他并不是来自人民的自由选择，但另一方面呢他又必须对外宣称他是来自人民的这种自由选择啊。那么这样子一来呢，他就比别的政权还更要热衷于就是压制这个民意的真正表达，制造出一种假象，制造出一种假舆论。所以这就是造成你看前不久不是还有一些甚至一些这个海外的一些一些公司去调查，中国政府是受到这个人民这个信任度最高的一个政府啊。那么这一点毫无疑问，中国政府自己肯定不相信这个调查的结果，但是呢他很需要这个结果。所以才造成他在这种情况之下呢，由于他知道实际情况和他需要外在表现出的情况是这么大的不一样，所以他这个疫情那的控制呢就不得不变得更严厉。
好的，那么刚才这个河北张先生他的这个言论呢，他的这个看法呢，实际上代表了许多听众和观众朋友的想法，就是我们对习近平的这个他的这个真面目呢，实际上看的不是很清楚。习近平我们知道他在国际上呢，他是树立一个开放的形象，可是在国内呢却整肃言论高压政策不断推出。那么究竟是什么是他的真面目？他究竟是进东，也就是进毛泽东呢，他还是进平，也就是进邓小平呢？我们请田先生发表一下看法。
对此我不敢妄言，但可以想象他在很大程度上由不得自己，因为他所接收的不仅是高高在上的官位，也有非常沉重的包袱，任何人都不愿全盘接收维持现状，但改变现实绝非一朝一夕之功。试想在政法军队武警乃至众多省市大权都掌握在一己势力手中时，习近平能干什么？他敢干什么？早在十八大前期前夕就有这个圈内的人士分析说，前五年习近平只能进行人事布局，他想干事只能等下一个五年。所以呢，我衷心希望习近平在十九大期间对中共历史做一个了断，该认错的认错，该道歉的道歉，该赔偿的赔偿，该昭雪的昭雪，而后轻装前进，逐步将联合国宪章规定的公民权利落实到位，把既定的民主、自由、公平、法治的核心价值观变成神圣的制度。
好的，
使这个中华民族早日步入世界先进文明的行列。这就是我的看法。
好，我们现在呢，网友发表了大量的看法，我们选择一些我们选择一些呢，给大家介绍一下。一位叫船斌马的这位网友呢，他这样说，他说内忧外患向左转是独裁者唯一的手段，以维护自己的统治地位。说中国人民呢还要忍受若干年的煎熬，国际社会应该加大力气破掉长城防火墙，人民觉醒，独裁者。独裁者自然灭亡。 另外，这位叫哈伯的网友他说，不管是五毛还是毛左，他们都是假左。如果是真左的话，他们就应该搞阶级斗争，打倒权贵资本主义，打倒王健林啊、李小林等等。我认为他们不但不左，而且还是极右的保皇势力。不管是毛左拥护土皇的毛泽东，还是五毛拥护的独裁者习近平，都是最高权力者，所以这些假左派维护的只是最高权力而已。这位叫Abner王的网友说，他说与毛时代相比呢，现在中国已经没有毛时代的民意基础了，最明显的是毛时代没有所谓的维稳，所以中共当局已经完全没有发动第二次文革的条件了。另外一位叫 Ed Cho 这位网友呢，他这样说，他说意识形态左转，习核心不仅是乐观其成，而且还是主要推手，无论从政治斗争还是维护统治，向左的意识形态都有利于习近平。请问随着苏联解体，共产主义意识形态的终结，中共意识形态宣传是不是还起作用？中国特色那一套宣传还能被人民真心接受呢？我们请胡平先生来综合回应一下刚才网友的这个评论和问题。
我觉得刚才那位网友谈对毛左的分析应该说是非常正确。这个现在的毛左实际上也是这个徒有其名，名不符实。那就是因为你真正是如果是毛左，那么你就该认定今天的中共早已经背叛了毛泽东那一套。那么你要真正这个继承那个毛泽东的那种思想遗产，那你首先就应该起来，就是反对今天的中共政权，反对今天中共这个当局的所作所为。可是呢，我们看到的毛左呢又不是这个样子，所以现在毛左他也是这个也是他们打出来的一个招牌，所以才会就像这个当局他抢到那套意识形态一样，双方那的心照不宣，都不是来真的，只是在这个维护权力这点上互相利用而已。另外刚才很多网友我觉得谈的也非常对，在今天和毛时代最大的区别就是，当年在毛时代，不管我们对他的那套意识形态有了怎么样严厉的批评，但在当时呢，那一套意识形态和当时当局的所作所为大体上他是配套的。而现在中国共产党最大的问题就是他的嘴上所说的那一套和他实际所做的那套是完全截然相反那么在这一点上呢，习近平也是如此，所以我们看到习近平他并没有打算比如说在经济方面呢，在这些方面回到毛时代，而只是在意识形态方面不断的强化这个毛时代的那些色彩。另外当然谈到这个习近平他到底是什么人，他要怎么做，在中国改革当然有很多很多的困难，以及对这个今后这个今年的十九大抱某种期待。但是我觉得这个问题就像那个古代这个预言，你真的是南辕北辙。如果他是在朝那个方面朝我们期待的方向走，那么这几年他所作所为即便不在那方面那个方向能走很远，至少应该表现出朝那个方面运动的那个趋势。而我们看到的情况呢恰恰是相反，他在压制自由化压制政治改革方面做的比他的前任还要更要严厉，所以我觉得我们真是无法对他这个对习近平的这个十九大抱更高的期待。
田先生，我们现在剩下时间不多了，大概还有半分钟的时间，您给简单介绍一下，简单说明一下您对中共高层现在处理意识形态问题的看法吧。
这个很难说，我现在我就知道在中国的大陆官场掌握大权人的人，他周围都是应声虫，他们见到的都是笑脸，听到的都是颂歌，习惯了这样的环境，过惯了这样的生活，怎么能容忍不留情面的批评指责？所以只要在权力圈子有人提出打压不同声音的提议时，恐怕没有谁会投反对票。
好的，
这就是这样一个客观环境啊。
好的，我们今天时事大家谈的讨论呢就到这里结束了，时间关系我们不能一一接听和回应听众观众朋友们以及网友们的电话和发来的评论以及问题请登录美国之音或 YouTube 网站浏览您的问题和评论。我们感谢胡平和田七庄两位先生参加节目的讨论，我们也感谢各位观众听众和网友的参与。美国之音时事大家谈是一个自由论坛，来宾听众观众以及网友发表的都是他们个人言论，不代表美国之音。好的，我是许波，祝大家晚安，下次再会。